Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR. We're talking about the surprises, the pandemic, how to take advantage of it, how to miss the pitfalls that so many people have fallen into, a really, really strong piece. And David Fingold has agreed to stick around to chat a little bit more with us. Now, David Fingold is a vice president and senior portfolio manager of Dynamic Funds. And David, I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. Okay, so you've done a fantastic job of identifying areas of the market where there's been opportunity and avoided some of those pitfalls and a solid strategy. I'd love you to crystal ball gaze a little bit. Let's talk about on the go-forward basis. What do you see?
Well, I believe we're exiting recession. I would suggest that the National Bureau of Economic Research is very likely to declare August 31st to be the end date on the recession. And I think the only risk factor on that would be if there's something completely unforeseen. For instance, I remember the economy was getting better in the second half of 2002, and then we moved towards the second Gulf War, and that delayed the recovery by a few months. But barring a completely unexpected event like that, I believe the economy is sequentially getting better. I also believe, though, that a number of the major changes that were going on in the economy prior to this year's events are just going to accelerate. For instance, one of them is this whole issue of teleconferencing and video conferencing, perhaps having permanently impaired the value of the travel and hospitality industries. Because I think we've all come to learn that we can do business over a video conference and that there was a lot of unnecessary business travel. And that doesn't speak well for the long-term prospects, for instance, for hotels and airlines. We also have an overhang on the hospitality industry until we have dealt with the pandemic and everybody is comfortable that they can go back to cruise ships, casinos, theme parks, restaurants, etc., with or without the social distancing. It's only when the public is comfortable that that can recover. And I think the other important issue is a lot of people have felt that shopping malls and that office buildings were bulletproof asset classes. And, you know, even the people who are resistant to shopping online have now learned they can get everything they need without leaving their home if they want to. And all of us have learned to work from home. So I would just hate to own an office building because we don't need to go into the office as much as we used to. So I see those as important changes. And by the way, they're not new changes. The technology that made this possible was already causing business to be soft in those industries last year, and it has only accelerated, and I don't know why it will change. I mean, we've gotten so much of our lives back that we spent commuting and traveling. I don't know why we would change our behavior in the future.
David, it sounds like you're talking about the FANG stocks when you talk about Facebook and Alphabet, Netflix, and Amazon, and all that stuff. Like it sounds like we're just going there, and that's been very popular in recent years, and have done very well as a rate of return on those individual companies. Are we just going to focus on the FANG stocks, or do you find other areas that are more attractive?
Look, we own a number of those companies and we like them, but we think that where we can add more value is by finding beneficiaries that other people may not have thought of. So, for instance, all of that, the storage and the compute power to do cloud computing comes from certain gatekeepers. For instance, you need ASM lithographies, photolithography spreads, in order to make the leading edge wafers for those chips. Nikon and Canon weren't able to move below 20 nanometers, so ASML completely dominates that market. We also own a Japanese company called Hoya that makes the photomasks for lithography at all the leading edge nodes. So it really doesn't matter where we're going with electronic technology. We think these are literally the pick and shovel companies of this. So let's think back to our, you know, basic understanding of finance, which is literally, as my late father would say, the real money in the Klondike being made selling the picks and shovels. So yes, we own and love Amazon and Google and Facebook. But where do they have to go to get the picks and shovels to build their businesses where they don't have much choice about suppliers? ASM Lithography and Hoya are good examples of where they simply don't have a choice. And wherever possible, we want to go where there isn't a choice. I mean, we could be talking, for instance, about where vaccines could come from or where treatments could come from. And it could be for COVID or could be for any number of ailments. But if you want to get that drug manufactured, you probably need to buy supplies from Sartorius Stedham Biotech for the filtration systems or for the single-use processing vessels to make a biotech drug. And Sartorius really dominates this business. So wherever possible, we like to focus on the picks and shovels.
And David, just in follow-up to that, your comments there, and you may have effectively addressed this, but you, in some of your mandates, have a global go-anywhere mandate. I'm curious to get your take on what areas geographically you're seeing the best opportunities.
It's a tough question to answer because we don't look at the world on a geographic basis. What we actually do is we look for great businesses, and then we go wherever we need to go to find them. So I just mentioned a Japanese company, Ahoya. I mentioned a Dutch company, ASM Lithography, a French company, Sartorius Stedham Biotech. If there had been an American company that was comparable to that, and I don't think there is an American company comparable to any one of them, we would have looked at it. So we're not really looking on a geographic basis. There's another company we like called Teradyne, and one of the things they do is they build small robots. And a lot of people are talking about how you facilitate social distancing in a factory. And, you know, people like to say robots don't catch viruses. So there could be a very strong market for these small robots. And in that case, it's an American company. So we're not really looking at the countries where companies are located. We're looking at the business, its prospects, the quality of management, you know, whether we see tremendous demand for their products that other people haven't factored into their view of the company. And then the country mix kind of ends up what it is. Now, I don't want to say it's willy-nilly. We're never going to put the whole portfolio into Japan. All right, we will look top down and say, do we have an appropriate exposure to Japan? But we're never going to, you know, say, oh, I like Japan, let's go pick some Japanese companies. So we will use that country view for risk management to make sure that we have a good diversification of countries. But we're never going to say, you know, I love Britain, let's go find some ideas in Britain.
David, we have under 1 minute to go before we have to go to commercial break. Give me three tips for investors that you would see that they could use going forward.
Well, number one, more than anything else, get a financial advisor. I can't believe that this is even a debate. The data shows over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years that clients with a financial advisor do so much better than the ones who try to do it alone. And have a plan, think long term. And then I just say, as a mission statement, invest in quality. And this is not easy to do because Merrill Lynch every quarter downloads all the holdings of all the portfolio managers available to U.S. residents, and most of them are overweight, low-quality issues. And then they go and they tell their clients they bought quality. So I don't know if they're lying to themselves. That's not my concern. But you want to make sure if you're trying to buy quality that you're getting quality. So working with your advisor to do the due diligence to make sure you're getting the quality you're looking for is really important.
David, there's in the last two segments, there's, I think, a ton of good stuff for people to think about. I want to thank you for condensing it, putting it in plain English, helping us understand where we've been and where we're going. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, before we wrap up this segment, Faisal, we've got to take all of this stuff and condense it and put it into, as David said, a plan. But it's not just an investment plan, it's a lifestyle plan, right? Much bigger than that. We're going to talk about that our upcoming summer.
Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday, July 21st, 7 p.m., live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, stick around after the break. Can talking to your advisor actually ruin your retirement? We'll tell you more. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.